The following program contains graphic material, including offensive language. Viewer discretion is advised.
Without freedom of the press, no democratic form of government could exist.
We switch you now to London.
I'm standing on a rooftop looking out over London.
Good night and good luck.
Good evening from our CBS newsroom in New York.
NBC presents Chet Huntley and David Brinkley.
From ABC, this is World News Tonight with Peter Jennings in London, Max Robinson in Chicago, and from our desk in Washington, Frank Reynolds.
Good evening.
This historic legislation, the telecommunications law, will create many, many high-wage jobs, will create opportunity and better lives for all Americans.
When the press is free, the people of a country are free. When the press is not free, the people of a country are in danger of slavery.
Keeping you informed with information, news, and the views of people making the news. It's the Nicole Sandler Show on NicoleSandler.com and the Progressive Voices Network.
And we're off. Off and running. It's a brand new week, you know, because we start here on Tuesdays on the Nicole Sandler Show. No show on Mondays these days. So here we go. Welcome to it. I am Nicole Sandler, coming to you live at NicoleSandler.com from 3 to 4 p.m. Eastern, Tuesday through Friday. Heard on the Progressive Voices Network at 6 p.m. Eastern, Tuesday through Friday as well. And, well, here we go again. You know, yesterday was a holiday. It was a Martin Luther King holiday. And for the last 8 years, it's been interesting to see, you know, the Obama family every year on Martin Luther King Jr. Day going out and doing service, because that's the kind of holiday MLK Day is. It's supposed to be a day of service. It's supposed to be a day. In fact, do I have, of course, I don't have that clip up here. Damn it. I did pull it. And I didn't pull it over here. I'll see if I can multitask and while I'm talking, find this this piece of here we go. On Friday, Donald Trump had a little ceremony at the White House where they signed a proclamation on Martin Luther King Jr. Day, and Isaac Newton Ferris Jr., who happened to be Martin Luther King Jr.'s nephew, talked about what happens on Martin Luther King Day. I know why I didn't pull it over here, because I use it in What's News, but that's all right. Let me share it with you anyway. Here's a little bit of what he said.
It should not be a day of hero worship. And that's why the Congress agreed with my aunt and also made it a day of service. So that we, on that day, as a matter of fact, at the King Center, we refer to it as a day on, not a day off. It's not a day to hang out in the park or pull out the barbecue grill.
Mm-hmm.
It's a day to do something to help someone else.
So it's a day of service. So over and every president and every year since Ronald Reagan reluctantly signed the Martin Luther King Jr. holiday into law, every year except for two, and one was because it was right around the corner from an inauguration, and one was a war had just broken out. Every year except those two, the president has done something of service until yesterday. And Donald Trump played golf. Yeah, he played golf. Now, the thing that dominated the news this weekend was still the shithole meeting, right? The Donald Trump calling African nations and Haiti, basically, shitholes. Now, on the Sunday shows, there was some confusion where Tom Cotton and David Perdue of Georgia couldn't quite remember. First, they couldn't remember anything about any kind of salty language. And then it seems that the confusion was in what word Donald Trump actually used to describe these African nations and Haiti, because they were parsing words here. I mean, literally parsing words, because from their recollection, perhaps he didn't say shithole. He said shithouse. Does it really make a difference? But I loved watching all the cable news commentators tie themselves into pretzels, because some would actually come out and say the word shithole. And some did it for the first day and then reverted to S-hole. And every time I heard S-hole, all I could think is a song that I used to play all the time that I haven't much lately because things have taken a much more serious turn. Although I do think Donald Trump is the world's biggest asshole, every time I hear on television someone say asshole, I hear asshole, because that's what it sounds like. And it just made me realize that we haven't played this song in a long time, and maybe it'll help our collective psyche. So let's do it, I guess.
I want to tell you a story about the brand new world's biggest asshole.
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 It's a brand new story about the brand new world's biggest asshole.
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 His name is
Donald Trump.
And he's the new world's biggest asshole. Oh, yeah.
And nothing new about it. He is the world's biggest asshole. You know, the person who had to come out and say this at Mar-a-Lago, no less.
No, I'm not a racist. I am the least racist person you have ever interviewed. That I can tell you.
You know, he had to come out and say,
No, I'm not a racist.
To have to say I'm not a racist. Now, I played this. This was on Friday after the ceremony, the Martin Luther King Day proclamation signing thing. Reporters started shouting questions at him.
Mr. President, will you give an apology for the statement yesterday?
Mr. President, did you refer to African nations? You referred to shithole.
Mr. President, are you a racist? Mr. President, will you respond to these serious questions about your statement, sir?
No, Mr. President, I
talking to the President, I'm sorry. Mr. President, are you a racist?
So the loudest voice in that gaggle there was April Ryan, who asked him, by my count, at least two times, are you a racist? Are you going to apologize? And every time I heard other reporters over the weekend ask him, are you a racist? Now, I got to say, it's a ridiculous question, because what's he going to answer? Yes. No, of course he's going to say,
no, I'm not a racist.
Of course. And he's got a lot of practice at saying it. In fact, if the shoe fits, or the blackface paint appears in his makeup kit, I don't know. No, he wears orange. I forgot. Of course he's a racist. But, you know, there comes a point where, How does the old saying go? Methinks the man doth protest too much.
I'm not a racist. I am the least racist person you have ever interviewed. That I can tell you.
Are you racist?
I am the least racist person that you have ever met. I am the least racist person.
But why do you think these white supremacists, these various white supremacists out there, are supporting your campaign?
I don't know, because I am the least racist person that you'll ever meet. So I don't know. And I don't know that they really are. I mean, you're telling me that, so I don't know that
they
really are.
Well, the ADL put out a whole list of 10 white supremacists, neo-Nazis, they called them, anti-Semites, who are out there working, supporting your campaign.
I just don't know. I mean, you're telling me this, but I don't know why. I am certainly the least racist person.
But you condemn them.
Of course I condemn them.
Of course.
By the way, I am the least, just so you know.
Just so we know.
I am the least racist person. The least racist
the
person.
The least racist
that you've
person.
Ever seen.
The right.
The I least. Am the least racist person that you've ever met, believe me. The least racist person.
No, I am the least racist person that you've ever met. And you can speak to Don King, who knows me very well. You can speak to so many different people.
My black friend.
From the election, you've been labeled a racist. You've been called a sexist. How do you respond to that?
I am the least racist person you've ever met.
He says it so often that it just rolls off the tongue. I'm the least racist person that you've ever met. If it were true, he wouldn't have had to say it. Just saying. Now, today, he had a guest in the White House. It was the president, or actually the dictator, of Kazakhstan. And I happened to catch Rachel Maddow's show last night, at least part of it, where she was drawing all just point A to point B on how Kazakhstan has been, you know, money laundering through Trump properties for years. There's something going on with Kazakhstan. So who shows up at the White House today? But he's called the president of Kazakhstan. Now, I was in Kazakhstan 17 years ago. My daughter was born in Kazakhstan. I adopted her she spent her first 18 months in an orphanage in Kazakhstan. So when the subject of Kazakhstan comes on, my ears perk up. And so I've been listening. It's quite disconcerting. Kazakhstan is a poor country. And one reason there are so many children in orphanages is people can't afford to take care of their kids there. And they can just drop them off at an orphanage. And there are a lot of kids in orphanages who are not available for adoption because the parents haven't relinquished their parental rights, but yet they let the state take care of the kids such as it is in an orphanage. Anyway, Allison was abandoned as a baby, so she was available for adoption. And I'm one of the only people I know who's ever been to Kazakhstan, and the only other people I know who've been there have been people who've adopted from Kazakhstan. So it was quite disconcerting that it was the same president. I'm doing air quotes around president if you're not watching on YouTube. Back then, as it is today, he's a dictator. Not a really good guy. Well, today, they didn't take questions. There was no two and two after the statements made by Trump and the Kazakh dictator. There was the pool spray there of people trying to ask questions. And there was quite a telling moment there.
Thanks, everyone, for attending. Thank you, Jim.
Thank you very much. Thank you very much. I want them to come in from everywhere, everywhere. Thank you very much, everybody.
Right.
Thank you, Jim.
Thank you, Jim. Jim Acosta from CNN. Once again, asking the questions. Why did you say you want people from Norway? Because that was one of the points that Dick Durbin had articulated from that Thursday meeting where things got contentious at the White House, at the Oval Office, when supposedly Trump was going to sign whatever they brought to him. Remember that? Just last week, we played the sound. Trump said, whatever deal you bring me, I will sign. Until, John Kelly and Stephen Miller stepped in. And Lindsey Graham pointed the finger at them. And showed that it was Trump staffers who took what started out as a decent meeting on Tuesday and a good phone call on Thursday morning, and all of a sudden everything changed, right? So this morning there was a hearing at the Senate Judiciary Committee with Kirstjen Nielsen, who is the new Secretary of Homeland Security. And I love this question because, the day before Trump had met with the prime minister of Norway. I think they have a prime minister in Norway. Anyway, and that's when he suggested having more Norwegians come to the U.S. through immigration instead of, Haitians, because we don't need no stinking Haitians anymore. And Patrick Leahy, who seemed a little confused in the hearing this morning. Senator Leahy, Africa is a continent, not a country. Just thought I'd throw that out there. Anyway, this question might have been one of the more disturbing of the whole morning. Didn't get as much attention as some of the other ones, but it was disturbing nonetheless.
Norway is a predominantly white country, isn't it?
I actually do not know that, sir, but I imagine that is the case. Okay.
She doesn't really know that, but she imagines that's the case. Anyway, Dick Durbin had some pointed questions. There's a lot. Maybe we'll get to some of the audio today. Maybe not. It's Tuesday, so Gotta Laugh is here, and she's got a lot in her tweet spot. So I'll tell you what we'll do. We'll take a quick break. We'll check out what's news. We'll come back with Gotta Laugh next, and we'll get into her tweet spot. Okay, All right.
I read the news today, oh boy.
It's time for Nicole Sandler's What's News from NicoleSandler.com and the Progressive Voices Network.
Monday was the Martin Luther King Jr. holiday, and from his Florida weekend getaway, the president assured us,
No, I'm not a racist. I am the least racist person you have ever interviewed. That I can tell you.
On Friday, there was a proclamation signing at the White House at which the president spoke, as did Isaac Newton Ferris Jr., Martin Luther King's nephew, and the president of the Martin Luther King Jr. Center for Nonviolent Social Change, who explained what the holiday was about.
It should not be a day of hero worship. And that's why the Congress agreed with my aunt and also made it a day of service. So that we, on that day, as a matter of fact, at the King Center, we refer to it as a day on, not a day off. It's not a day to hang out in the park or pull out the barbecue grill. It's a day to do something to help someone else. And that can be as simple as delivering someone's trash or picking up the newspaper for that elderly person who can't get to the end of the driveway. Bottom line, you're doing something that benefits someone other than yourself. That's the proper way to remember my uncle and the proper way to celebrate the King holiday. So, President Trump, thank you for taking the time to acknowledge this day. Thank you for remembering that we're all Americans, and on this day we should be united in love for all Americans.
Donald Trump spent the holiday playing golf.
No, I'm not a racist.
Consider that on MLK Day, presidents in both parties have traditionally taken action to mark it. President Reagan, who did initially oppose the creation of this holiday, important to remember, but he did sign it into law under pressure, and the first federal MLK Day was in 1986.
And on this day, the United States of America celebrates, for the very first time, a federal holiday honoring Dr. King today, January the 20th, 1986.
And more incremental credit where it might be due. Then Vice President George H.W. Bush was standing at the Ebenezer Baptist Church with Archbishop Desmond Tutu, another way to mark today. We've seen president after president stand in front of the nation and at least make an effort to reflect in different ways on Dr. King's legacy. They've addressed the role of King's message and how it plays around the world. President Obama went beyond delivering a speech and did service, words into action. Compare all of that in all those different ways to what we see today, Donald Trump's first MLK Day. He tweeted out a link of his weekly radio address about the legacy, and then he went golfing.
In Detroit, a family was torn apart as Jorge Garcia, a husband and father of two who was brought here from Mexico 30 years ago when he was just 10 years old, was deported. Chances of a government shutdown continue to grow as Republicans on Monday concluded that they'd be unable to reach a long-term spending accord by the Friday deadline. GOP leaders are now turning to a short-term funding measure in hopes of keeping agencies open while talks continue. But Democratic leaders say they're unlikely to support any deal that does not address DACA. There was a bipartisan plan brought to the White House by Lindsey Graham and Dick Durbin, but it was upended during the Oval Office meeting on Thursday, during which the president used vulgar terms to describe poor countries sending immigrants to the United States.
Everybody knows how this went down now.
Yeah.
I know.
Even the White House aides are admitting.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The vulgarity was used.
Yeah. Yeah.
Tom Cotton heard the vulgarity.
Yeah.
David Perdue heard the vulgarity.
And we know on background
they
the
lied
yeah. is vulgar.
On Sunday morning.
Yeah.
They lied to the American people.
Yeah.
They lied to their constituents in Georgia and Arkansas. They lied to cover the president's racist remarks.
Yeah.
We know that.
Yeah.
We also know that Trump tells Durbin and Lindsey Graham to come over to the White House.
Yeah.
Yeah, that sounds like a great deal. Let's talk about it.
Sure.
John Kelly stops him before they come over. Mr. President, this is bad for your agenda. This is bad politics.
Bad with the base.
Because we want to keep you at 31%. My God. Yeah. So they come over. And they are blindsided by a bunch of hardliners.
Yeah. And liars, by the way.
And liars.
Hardline liars.
Hardline liars who then, along with a very angry president, were basically saying this deal wasn't going to be done, which is fine. But the president started shouting the vulgarities,
yeah.
which I will say again, Tom Cotton first said he didn't hear it, then lied.
Yeah.
David Perdue first said he didn't hear it, and then went on Sunday shows and lied.
Yeah.
Holding on to the thinnest.
Yeah.
Some semantical difference.
Yeah.
Of President's
whether vulgarities. It was House or Hull.
Senator Jeff Flake told George Stephanopoulos on Sunday that he had heard about the vulgarities before the story went public.
You just heard Senator Perdue right there saying the president didn't use those words that were widely attributed to him. Do you believe that?
Well, all I can say is I was in a meeting directly afterwards where those who had presented to the president our proposal spoke about the meeting, and they said those words were used before those words went public. So that's all I can tell you is I heard that account before the account even went public.
And that's a bit of what's news for now. I'm Nicole Sandler. If you appreciate these reports and the Nicole Sandler Show, I hope you'll consider making a contribution. My work is 100% listener funded, and I can't do it without your help. Find out more at NicoleSandler.com/donate.
This is a huge, huge issue.
And we're talking about it. The Nicole Sandler Show on Progressive Voices and NicoleSandler.com. And now, it's time for The Nicole Sandler Show segment, Shooting the Shit with Laffy.
Oh, we made it. Yes, every Tuesday we get together with our pal, Gotta Laugh. We peruse her Twitter feed in her tweet spot to find out what's going on in the news. Hello?
Yes, you breached the Trump's big MLK Day hotline.
Oh, okay. I know it was a busy day.
Very busy. Press 1 if you think Trump says he admires Martin Luther King because he thinks King was the royal title of a wealthy white monarch named Marty.
Yeah.
Press 2 if you think in Trump's comments from the golf course, he also bragged, "I got a shithole in one." Press 3 if you think Trump thinks the initials MLK stand for Me Likey the KKK.
Oh, unfortunately, yes.
Oh, boy. My brain has, like, it feels like a pinball machine right now.
Mine too.
There has been so much just in the last 5 hours. I mean, I can't even keep track. When you were, I missed a lot of your news, what's news today because Skype.
Right.
I couldn't hear it, But just, watching my TV screen and doing my tweets and all that, my God, it's just amazing what's been going on. Let's get right to it because I have so many tweets.
All right. Well, then let's do it. There we go.
Welcome to my tweet spot.
All right. What's happening on the Twitters?
Okay, well, so from today, Michael Isikoff, actually, this looked like it might have been from yesterday, but I can't tell. He said, for what it's worth, here's the new spin from source very close to the White House. When Trump said shithouse countries, not shithole, at immigration meeting, he was actually thinking about real estate.
Yeah,
they actually think we'll buy that.
Yes, they do, because they lie with such impunity that they say the sky is green, and Trump's followers go along with it. That's why.
It's just so insulting. I can't even stand it. Okay, Frank Conniff, who is really funny. He said Donald Trump is the least racist president to spend Martin Luther King Day playing golf that you'll ever meet.
Now, that is true.
Mm-hmm.
That is actually true. By the way, did you hear the little mini montage I played of the I'm the least racist person?
I heard part of it, but I've heard it before. I have heard it a lot.
Right. Who says something like that? I mean, why would anybody ever need to say those words? And they just come rolling off his tongue, because
well,
he said
like
it so many times.
It's like saying I'm the smartest person
the same
you've ever
thing.
Met.
Right.
Yeah. So he just says stuff.
So he's a stupid racist. Okay.
Yeah.
Got
yeah.
that.
Who knows all the worst people?
Exactly.
Okay, Rocky Mountain Mike had a couple of these. I took two out. There was actually a little run he was doing. He contributes to the Stephanie Miller Show. He said, Trump is the least racist person who said, fire that son of a bitch about a black man protesting unarmed black people being killed by cops you ever met.
That is true.
And then he said, Trump is the least racist person who called for bringing back the death penalty for five black men exonerated from their charges and never apologized for it you ever met.
That too is true.
Okay, now we're going to get into Joni Ernst.
Oh, boy.
Joni Ernst.
You know, I almost pulled this audio, and I didn't, because it was just so weird.
It was. I have the transcript.
Okay. Here. All right, go ahead.
And that's why I'm reading it. And then I'm going to, it leads in, I think, to my next set of tweets. I'm not sure. I was doing so many today. Honestly, I don't remember what I even bookmarked here. But anyway, so Joni Ernst, Senator Joni Ernst, was what? She was at a... in front of a bunch of rural Iowa voters, right?
Right.
And she said the following. He is standing up for a lot of the countries where we have seen, and a constituent says, name a few. Could you name a few? And she says, yeah, you bet. Norway. And the room burst out laughing. What an idiot.
Really? That's
I don't have any. I'm not even going to admit. They're just idiots.
Yeah.
They're idiots. I hate them. They're idiots. I can't even. By the way, may I just say, because I don't think I marked this anywhere, Cory Booker, he got some great kudos because he was a good questioner today with the
Kirsten Nielsen, lady with Homeland Security person.
The one with the blonde hair like everybody else in his entire cabinet or whatever. But then later, after he did a pretty good job, you know, getting passionate and questioning her, out in the hallway, he was interviewed, and somebody said to him, so is Trump a racist? And he said something to the effect of, well, I can't look into his soul. And he kept saying things like that, like, you know, I don't know him well enough to say,
oh,
you know,
come
but
on.
He exactly like he then he sort of, you know, would say, but you know, based on things he said, he shouldn't say this and that. I mean, I stopped listening after he said I didn't look into his soul, or I can't look into his soul. You don't need to look into his soul to know he's a racist. Just look at his quotes.
That's right. Just listen to what he says.
Right. It's not a hard thing to discern. Mm-hmm. The guy's a racist. Everything he does and says, everything he has done and says since what, the 70s or 80s, is racist.
Yeah, pretty much.
His
history is that of a racist.
Yes. And I guess because he's going to run for president, which seems pretty obvious, he's just not going to get that pointed with his comments. He should, because if you run for president these days, you better be right on the nose with everything.
Yep.
Okay, so David Itzkoff, who I guess is with the New York Times, said he's responding to Sarah Sanders saying, if Trump's a racist, why did NBC hire him for 10 years?
Yes, she did say that.
Like, wow.
She really did.
So he says the network of Bill Cosby and Matt Lauer would never misjudge someone like that.
Never.
I've got my eye on the White House briefing, by the way, in case the doctor pops in.
Got it.
Let's see.
Yeah, what that was about is the doctor who did the physical on Trump on Friday is supposed to make an appearance at the White House briefing, as you call it, the daily lying session. So when he shows up, Dr. Ronnie somebody or other, when he shows up, we'll take some of that audio.
Oh, and by the way, other than misspelling Dr. Ronnie's name in that little letter saying what excellent health the president is in and all that, when doctors sign letters, because my dad is a doctor, you sign your name and then put MD. You don't ever sign it Dr. So-and-so.
Right. Yeah. Now, so they spelled instead of R-O-N-N-Y, which is how he spells his name, it was spelled R-O-N-N-I-E, and it was signed Dr. Ronnie, whatever his last name
is. Whatever his name is. Yeah, I can't remember his name either. It would have been Ronnie so-and-so, M.D. That's how he would have signed it.
I don't understand what this whole thing, everything having to do with Trump and doctors is weird. Now, this is the doctor who used to travel with Obama.
Right.
I mean, this is not Trump's doctor. This is the doctor for the president of the United States who works out of Walter Reed. So this is what I don't understand about the whole thing. But
I know. And I guess we'll find out when he gets up there at the podium, if he does, because I mean, he may have just been instructed to say what he's going to say. So we don't know what he really wants to say.
Right.
So, you know, it's all a show, as usual.
The fact that the first thing out of them is that he's in excellent health. I mean, he's overweight. He's
right. And you know, maybe he meant his blood pressure was okay.
Right.
He can walk across the room without tripping on his toes or something. You know, the really basic, you know, take your heart and blood pressure and all that stuff. Maybe that was fine. So he's in excellent health that way with the basics. But he couldn't have gotten the blood results back. So he wouldn't possibly
That's
know
true.
If he's in excellent.
Like he wouldn't know what his cholesterol was at that right. time.
And he's on Lipitor. So his cholesterol will likely be very good.
Oh.
I know that because I used to be on Lipitor until it screwed with my liver. So it makes your cholesterol look wonderful. And I was a healthy eater, am a healthy
eater. But you didn't eat Big Macs every day.
Exactly. Trump eats Diet Coke, Big Macs by the, you know, ton.
KFC.
Taco bowls. And,
right.
Yeah. So, yeah. No, I mean, he eats an ice cream and chocolate cake, double scoops of ice cream. So,
must be nice.
Yeah, he even if his blood levels are okay, that doesn't make him be healthy because
right.
if you took away that medicine, he'd probably have a heart attack and die.
Okay.
Okay, so Manu Raju.
Yes.
Manu Raju. Manu I Raju. Always say that wrong. Manu Raju said Durbin presses Nielsen, Dick Durbin pressed Nielsen about how Trump characterized African nations in last week's hearing. And she said, I don't specifically remember. And then she said, and this is me talking, she said almost everyone used profanity. So she was like basically saying, see, everyone does it.
Yeah. And at first she was saying that she couldn't recall. I mean, this must be a requirement to be a part of Trump's cabinet is that you have a really bad memory.
Absolutely. Or to be just a Republican, because look at the two you named, Perdue and Cotton.
Yes.
Suddenly their memories got better.
Yeah, right. Of course. And at first they couldn't recall him saying anything untoward. And now, they do recall it, but it was a different word. It was shithouse instead of shithole.
Like that makes a difference. What are right. the... Oh, well, in that case...
It just... all it makes... The only difference it makes is what song I hear in my head instead of the world's biggest asshole song. Because uh-huh. the news people keep calling it S-hole.
Yeah.
It's this. Because I hear shit house instead of brick house.
There you go.
Yeah.
All right. Anyway. So today also, okay, so Nielsen was saying that Lindsey Graham also used tough language. She also said, and this I'm really surprised more people aren't commenting on, she wants a, quote, permanent solution to immigration, at which point Durbin objected to her choice of words.
Okay.
Permanent solution.
Right.
That brings back
yeah bad
unpleasant
memories. Yes. Visualizations.
Yeah. Yes. We don't want solutions.
Bad correlations. Right.
Yeah. All right. So Mark Caputo did a little run here. Mark Caputo is, he covers Florida for Politico.
Right.
Yeah. And he said, Durbin, who heard Trump's shithole comments to Secretary Nielsen, who has memory problems, how did he characterize those countries in Africa? Nielsen, I don't specifically remember a categorization of countries in Africa. Huh. Durbin, what was the strong language? Nielsen, apologies, I don't remember a specific word. Moments later, she said she remembers specific cuss words.
Right.
Quote.
Yeah, that's right.
So Nielsen can't remember and does, I see Huckabee S. at the podium and Dr. Ronnie standing next to her right now.
Okay, well, I've got MSNBC in the background and so online, and they're in commercials right now. So as soon as they come back up, I'll bring them up.
Okay, great. So Caputo says, so Nielsen can't remember and does remember. Nielsen says she remembered Graham giving a strong defense and arguing with Trump. So she remembers the conversations, just not the words used. And then Nielsen, I was struck more by the fact that the conversation, although passionate and appropriately so, had gotten to a place where many people were using inappropriate language in front of the president. That's what struck me. And Caputo says, because Trump is never known for using salty language.
Right.
So that was his take. Zerlina Maxwell,
She's the head of progressive programming at Sirius XM.
Yeah, she's really gotten some like good resume stuff happening over there.
Right, I like Serlina. I don't know how she ever got that job. She went to law school and got a law degree. Never had any radio background, but whatever.
Yeah, I know. Well, she was on TV a lot, so yeah. I don't know.
Yep.
She says also, how can you remember what Lindsey Graham said but not what Trump said? That so she's basically saying what Caputo was saying. Simon Malloy, who writes for Media Matters. Senior writer, Media Matters.
Right.
Curious how Nielsen has a perfect memory of Trump's thoughts and remarks on underrepresented European countries, but can't recall what he said about African nations. So he also said that.
All right. Hold on, because I've got Sarah Sanders talking with the doctor next to her. Here we go.
It is an ongoing process. Far more important to a meaningful assessment of the president's fitness for duty is the doctor's evaluation, observations, interaction, conversations, examination during the remaining 364 days of the year. Dr. Jackson and his team have been doing precisely from the moment Donald J. Trump was elected. Beginning on November 9th, 2016, the members of the White House medical unit began shadowing the new president-elect, figuratively Velcroed to his side 24/7.
Sure they were.
On January 20th, 2017, Dr. Jackson became that Velcro. Dr. Jackson's office is one of only a very few in the White House residence proper and is located directly across the hall from the president's private elevator. On any given day, the physician's office, as it is known, is generally the first and last to see the president. Dr. Jackson has built and leads an organization that is better than any other in history.
Okay, she's setting him up for a good report.
Physician to the president was well served by this president's doctor. More importantly, President and Mrs. Bush were well served by Dr. Jackson, as were President and Mrs. Obama. In keeping with his oaths, I have every reason to believe that Dr. Jackson will well and faithfully discharge the duties of his office, and that President and Mrs. Trump, the office of the presidency, and the country will be well served because of it. Thank you, Brigadier General Dr. Richard Tubb, for that background and that information. And with that, I will turn it over to Dr. Jackson.
All right.
And as always, if you could please keep your questions on topic. And after Dr. Jackson finishes, I'll come back up to address some of the questions of the day. Thanks, guys.
Yes, sir.
All right. So here's Dr. Ronnie Jackson.
Good afternoon, everyone. All right. So to start with, what I'm going to do is I'm going to read to you the summary of the president's physical. And so I'll just read through this. And then after I'm done reading this, immediately after the brief, we'll make this available to everyone exactly as I've read it here. And then I'll take a few questions. So start with President Donald J. Trump has completed his first periodic physical examination as president of the United States. I performed and supervised the examination with appropriate specialty consultations and diagnostic testing. The exam was conducted January 12, 2018 at the Walter Reed National Military Medical Center. The purpose of the exam was to provide the public with an update of the president's current health status and to ensure the president continues to enjoy all the benefits of good health. This examination focused on evidence-based health screening and disease prevention. With the president, with President Trump's consent, I released the following health information. Vitals as follows. Age 71 years and 7 months at the time of the exam, height 75 inches, weight 239 pounds, resting heart rate 68, blood pressure 122 over 74.
No way.
Pulse oximetry 99% on room air, temperature was 98.4. Physical examination by system to include any studies that were done by system. Eyes, the president's uncorrected visual acuity is 20/30 bilaterally with corrected visual acuity of 20/20 bilaterally. His visual fields were normal. Fundoscopic exam was normal bilaterally. His intraocular pressures were normal and no ocular, ocular pathology was discovered. Head, ears, nose, and throat, normal exam of the head, ears, nose, mouth, and throat. Dental exam, he has healthy teeth and gums. There were no other dental findings.
Real teeth?
Normal thyroid exam.
There wouldn't.
No noted lymphadenopathy. Auscultation of his carotid arteries were normal. Pulmonary exam, his lungs were clear to auscultation. A screening low-dose CT of the chest demonstrated no pulmonary pathology. Cardiac exam, heart exam was normal. Regular rhythm, no murmurs or other abnormal heart sounds were noted. His ECG, or commonly EKG, was normal sinus rhythm with a rate of 71, had a normal axis, and no other significant findings. He had a transthoracic echocardiogram done, which demonstrated normal left ventricular systolic function, an ejection fraction of 60 to 65%, normal left ventricular
but does
chamber
he still
size
have bone
and
spurs?
Wall thickness, no wall motion abnormalities, his right ventricle was normal, his atria were grossly normal, and all valves were normal. He had an exercise stress echocardiogram done, which demonstrated above average exercise capacity based on age and sex, and a normal heart rate, blood pressure, and cardiac output response to exercise. He had no evidence of ischemia, and his wall motion was normal in all images. Gastrointestinal exam. He had a normal exam, no masses, no hepatomegaly or splenomegaly. He had a normal optical colonoscopy done in 2013, June
okay.
of 2013.
Okay, I think I've heard enough. No you want more? Findings,
and because of that, I'll be interested in the questions.
Oh,
not indicated
okay.
at this time and will be deferred until his next periodic physical exam.
He needs a golf
exam
cart.
Was normal.
He doesn't walk.
Yeah, he doesn't walk anywhere. He gets no exercise other than playing golf, which I don't think is that strenuous a game. Then again, I'm not a golfer, so pardon me if I'm wrong.
Neurological exam, examination of the cranial nerves, cerebellar function, deep tendon reflexes, motor function.
David said the doctor, we shouldn't make fun of him. He deserves a medal because he had to see Trump naked.
Montreal cognitive assessment was normal with a score of 30
it's
over 30.
Above average exercise capacity based
normal,
on age and
no
sex.
Evidence of melanoma,
wow.
Basal cell carcinoma, squamous cell carcinoma, or any other significant dermatologic diseases. I'm going to very briefly go over some of the labs here that I feel are most important, that most providers would be interested
how
in.
How is he this healthy? This is what I don't get.
Put out the written... But laboratory
I don't know.
Results summarized a lipid panel. He had a total cholesterol of 223.
Ooh, that's
triglycerides
high.
Triglycerides of 129.
On Liptor.
HDL of 67. An LDL cholesterol of 143. And his total cholesterol to HDL ratio is 3.3.
I don't know what that
his,
means.
His complete blood count.
I don't either.
To include his white blood cell count, his hemoglobin, hematocrit, and platelet count were all normal. And the values are on the written copy you'll get. His extended metabolic panel as follows. His fasting blood glucose was 89. His BUN was 19. His creatinine was 0.98, indicators of his renal function. His liver enzymes, his ALT was 27. His AST was 19.
And without telling
normal.
You what the ranges his are, these numbers 5%. Don't mean anything.
His vitamin
yeah.
D was 20. His PSA was 0.12. And his thyroid screen with the TSH was 1.76.
Again.
He had a urinalysis done that was clear and had no evidence of protein.
Well,
ketones,
we know he likes
glucose,
the pee-pee.
Blood. His past medical history includes hypercholesterolemia and rosacea. His past surgical history.
His rosacea.
Had an appendectomy at age
orange
11.
Rosacea.
His social history. He has no past or present use of alcohol. No past or present use of tobacco. His medications. As follows, he takes Crestor, 10 milligrams daily to lower his cholesterol. He takes
Crestor.
Aspirin, 81 milligrams daily for cardiac health. He takes Propecia, 1 milligram daily
for
prevention of male pattern hair loss. He takes Cilantro cream as needed for
and
rosacea.
And Propecia is known to make you a bit nuts.
He takes a multivitamin each day for health maintenance.
He takes a multivitamin.
Immunizations. The president, during his physical exam, had a Prevnar 13 immunization to prevent pneumococcal pneumonia, and he had number 2 dose of his Twinrix to prevent hepatitis A and B. His routine vaccinations to include his seasonal influenza are all up to date, and all indicated travel vaccinations are up to date. In summary, the president's overall health is excellent. His cardiac performance during his physical exam was very good. He continues to enjoy the significant long-term cardiac and overall health benefits that come from a lifetime of abstinence from tobacco and alcohol. We discussed diet, exercise, and weight loss. He would benefit from a diet that is lower in fat and carbohydrates and from a routine exercise regimen.
You think?
He has a history of elevated cholesterol and is currently on a low dose of Crestor. In order to further reduce his cholesterol level and further decrease his cardiac risk, we will increase the dose of this particular medication. The president is currently up to date on all recommended preventive medicine and screening tests and exams. All clinical data indicates that the president is currently very healthy and that he will remain so for the duration of his presidency.
How does he know that?
Okay. With that, I'll take some questions. Before we get started, let me just make one comment. I'd just like to point out for all of you here in this room, many of you which know me, if something should happen to you over the next few months and you should fall ill at some point, that most likely I will be the one called to come and take care of you. So when you ask your questions, please keep that in mind. Yes, sir.
He's Dr. funny.
Johnson, how much weight have you suggested the president lose? And he has not exactly been enthusiastic about exercising. The president kind of believes that we all have a finite battery. Why waste it on exercising when you can put it toward other pursuits? So what did you counsel him about that?
Right. That's right. So, you know, I think the president, he and I talked, and he would like to lose over the next, I think a reasonable goal over the next year or so is to lose 10 to 15 pounds. We talked about diet and exercise a lot. He's more enthusiastic about the diet part than the exercise part, but we're going to do both. He and I will work together over the next year to incorporate a good plan so that we can meet those goals.
Thank you, Dr. Jackson.
Yes.
Thank you. Two questions for you. Number one, there have been some questions as part of your exam. I'm wondering if you talked to the president about this.
Mental health?
Mental fitness.
Yes.
He has pushed back on that, calling himself a staple genius. Can you assess the president's mental fitness for office?
Absolutely. So many of you may have picked up on the fact that we did do a cognitive assessment as part of the exam. And initially, I had no intention of including a cognitive assessment in this exam because, to be honest with you, per all the guidelines that are out there, it's not indicated at this time. A lot of the guidelines would suggest that you do cognitive screening questions, and that if you have a positive or concerning answer in the screening questions, that then you engage with a cognitive screening tool. So I had no intentions whatsoever doing that, like I said, because I didn't feel it was clinically indicated. And part of the reason I didn't think it was clinically indicated is because I've spent almost every day in the president's presence since last year when he got into office. And I've seen him every day. I see him one, two, sometimes three times a day because of the location of my office. We have conversations about many things. Most don't revolve around medical issues at all. But I've got to know him pretty well. And I had absolutely no concerns about his cognitive ability or his neurological function. So I was not going to do a cognitive exam. I had no intention of doing one. The reason that we did the cognitive assessment is plain and simple because the president asked me to do it. He came to me and he said, is there something we can do, a test or some type of screen that we can do to assess my, my cognitive ability? And so I looked into it. And once again, and my initial question was that I didn't think it was indicated and I didn't think we should do it. After looking at some of the guidelines, there are a few guidelines out there that lean in the direction of potentially doing it. The Medicare guidelines and some of the NIH, National Institute of Aging, they've indicated that it might be a good thing to start doing for most patients in the future. With that in mind, I went through and I looked at a variety of the cognitive assessments that were available. Most of them were very simple, very short, and I think that's the goal, actually, for primary care providers in doing this, is to keep it simple, keep it short. We picked one of the ones that was a little bit more involved. It was longer. It was the more difficult one of all of them. It took significantly longer to complete, but the president did exceedingly well on it. So that was not driven at all by any clinical concerns I have. It was driven by the president's wishes, and he did well on it.
So to follow up, the president's personal doctor memorably said during the campaign that he would be the healthiest individual ever elected to the presidency. Do you agree with that assessment?
I'm not going to comment on that. My job is to basically give you my assessment of President Trump today, and I'm not going to make any comparisons.
All right. I think that's enough of this.
Yeah. I saved a tweet just now. So Derek Waller, who I can't see his profile. Let me just see, pull this up a little bit. Hold on. Oh, he's with ABC. He said, watching this press conference with the doctor who says he's 239 pounds, 6 feet three, puts him very close to obesity. And he pulls up a chart, body mass index, 29.9, 30 is obese.
Mm-hmm.
So he's obese.
Okay.
I mean, they're not going to call it that.
No.
But he is.
But he's saying he only needs to lose 10 to 15 pounds?
That's crazy. I mean, I've lived with doctors my whole life. I worked in my dad's office. I know what's required. This is stretching it. And as we were talking about before, he's been on all these medications, so he can eat his brains out and his cholesterol will appear low. But what's happening to his arteries and I'm just wondering what's going on here and how does it affect his brain?
The most shocking thing out of this, and I bet Trump denies it, is the Propecia. because, you know, he don't talk about his hair. You know,
right.
Don't ever talk about his hair. And that's for male pattern baldness. And apparently it makes your peeny weeny teeny.
Ooh.
Yeah. And it makes, well. It impedes the sexual stuff.
Well, his was already teeny, but
apparently
he's paying those women off $130,000 to not talk about his lack of prowess.
Maybe
Who that's knows? What it's all about.
Who knows?
Maybe Melania doesn't care so much that he's cheating on her every 2 minutes, but he wants those secrets kept. Anyway, all right. So back to this is absurdity. What we just watched a bunch of, I don't understand what. okay, so
the official White House doctor giving the results of Trump's first official White House physical, and he's in excellent health, which I guess good for him. Gee, aren't we thrilled?
Yeah, live a long life and prosper. Okay. So back to, Zeke Miller, of what is he, from the AP now.
Okay.
Trump to the pool on wanting immigrants from Norway. I want them to come in from everywhere, except, of course, those shithole countries he talks about. But that's what he actually said today. That was before he shut,
Acosta.
He shut him up. They shut him up. They wouldn't let him. They said, out. You can't ask me questions. Out, damn spot.
Right.
All right. Lindsey Graham, when he was at the hearing today.
Yes.
He said this, I'm quoting, this has turned into an S show. He
here,
didn't say
here
shit.
Here you go. Whoops.
A little bit more extensive than
whoops.
Some of the
show. Oh, never mind. Sorry. I still have the audio of the doctor up.
Oh,
never
well,
mind.
We'll
I was
find
gonna,
out everything we need to know.
Yeah, I was going to play for you Lindsey Graham calling it an S show.
Oh, you, okay.
Here,
okay.
Now I've got it for you. Here,
okay.
Here we go.
This has turned into a S show, and we need to get back to being a great country.
Yeah, good luck on that.
If we haven't gotten, after a year of Trump saying MAGA, 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 and we're not there yet, ain't going to happen.
Nope.
It was never going to happen. Oh, boy.
We got minimum of 3 years before that can happen again.
Right. Oh, boy. And Graham also said, I don't think he was well served by his staff. And he goes on to note that Chief of Staff John Kelly is on the president's staff.
Yep.
He's basically saying that Miller and Kelly have been poisoning him against this compromise on DACA and immigration.
Well, he had asked what happened between Thursday morning when Dick Durbin reportedly had a good conversation with Trump and then spoke to Lindsey Graham and said, look, I had a good conversation with him. We've got this framework of a deal. And Graham said, let me set up a meeting. And 2 hours later, all of a sudden they're there, but then there's John Kelly and there's Tom Cotton and there's the Purdue and there's Stephen Miller and there's all these immigration hardliners who basically put the kibosh on the deal after Trump had on Tuesday said, I'll sign anything. You give me something, put anything in front of me and I'll sign it. Well, that was just another one of those lies, you know, those.
Oh, he just says anything. He whatever.
Anything.
I don't even, you know, people make such a big deal out of. He said he would compromise. Maybe we'll have a deal coming up. You know, and it's never, ever what people think it's going to be. So why don't people just shut up? Just now, Laura Rosen, who is with what? She does Washington Foreign Policy for AI Monitor.
Okay.
And she's live tweeting. Jackson said, Dr. Jackson,
yes.
Ronnie, never known him to repeat himself around me.
Oh.
Found no reason to think president has any issues whatsoever with his thought process.
Oh, my God.
How much did they pay him for this? My God, this is insane. This is gaslighting. I don't understand this because it's clear that he repeats himself. So maybe in the hallways when they bump into each other and have those little conversations they were talking about, the sentences are so short that he doesn't have time to repeat himself, and the time they're together is so short that he doesn't think to repeat himself.
I guess. Now Call Me Trip in the chat room, I guess, is still watching the press conference. And Sanjay Gupta is there asking very specific questions. And he says, Gupta just pinned him on heart disease. Wham. Gupta interpreted one of the tests and Doc just admitted it. Okay. Ow.
Good. Right. Oh, I'm glad he was there.
Yeah. So
that's
CNN.
Wonderful.
Yeah, he works for CNN. Good. I'm glad they had him there to ask questions.
Yeah. So Lynn Sweet sort of recapped the hearing. DHS Secretary Nielsen to Senator Leahy said she did not know if Norway population, mainly white, and she said she didn't know if the Norway population was mainly white and sparred over the meaning of pay when asked if there were arrangements for Mexico to pay for the border wall as promised by Trump. This at Senate Judiciary Committee meeting. I could not get that out of my face.
And I happened to see both of those. Yeah. I played this
Norway
again.
Norway is a predominantly white country, isn't it?
I actually do not know that, sir, but I imagine that is the case.
Okay. How does she not know that?
I don't know.
Yeah.
I don't know. Here's something. This is from Mark Noller. Asked about incident last year where Trump seemed to slur words, Jackson said his office checked that out at the time and found no clinical findings. Doctor thinks he may have prescribed too much Sudafed and that gave him dry mouth. No. You know who takes Sudafed? Mr. Laffey. He lives on it. He has never had a dry mouth like that. I've taken it. I get a dry mouth from it. I have never slurred my words ever.
Now, come on.
And God bless the United States.
Oh, God. All right. So Nielsen disagreed that the border walls are outdated technology. All I can say is walls work. And by the way, they're now calling it a wall system.
Yes, I saw that.
Mm-hmm.
It's a wall system.
We're never going to get through yesterday's. We've still got a couple more from today.
That's fine.
Well, basically, this is a repeat, so I'll get rid of that one. You pay $200,000. So there was an article. There was an article in the Miami Herald that the Mar-a-Lago was cited by state inspectors for poor maintenance.
Yes.
And you spend $200,000. And they said there's a failure to track freshness of potentially hazardous food, including curry sauce, dated October 21st, pulled from a freezer and improperly marked, milk stored at 49 degrees instead of 41 degrees, and cases of hot dogs stored on the ground of the walk-in freezer.
Ew.
Wait till guest dignitaries pick up their next forkful. Then days before the state visit of Japanese Prime Minister to Mar-a-Lago in February 2017, inspectors found sushi fish ready for consumption without obligatory treatment for parasites and cited the club for storing food in two broken down coolers at temperatures that spoiled fresh ingredients.
Oh, God. Yeah, and for that, you get to pay $200,000 to be a member. Hey.
That's right. Whee! Let's see. What's this? This is from Elise Foley, Huffington Post, asked Nielsen under oath whether Trump said vulgar words. I did not hear that word used. And then Leahy said, did he use anything similar? And she said the conversation was very impassioned. I don't dispute the president was using strong language, others using strong language. Leahy asked Nielsen about Norway comments, blah, blah, blah. Okay, so basically she rolled her eyes a lot.
That she did.
All right. From yesterday. Let's see. Should I just start at the top?
Yeah, we're down to our last 2 minutes, so just...
All right, I'll do one. Okay. From Politico, trying to get this straight. So Dick Durbin fabricated a conversation, which Lindsey Graham verified is true to Tim Scott, and the White House and other participants didn't deny it for days just because, or Tom Cotton and David Perdue were lying. There you go.
Yeah. Well, they were lying because they they lied and said that... they didn't recall hearing that word. Then all of a sudden, no, it wasn't shithole. It was shit house.
Yeah.
Which who fucking cares?
We don't. We know that he's a racist, and that's what matters.
Right. By the way, Brian Beutler of Crooked Media tweeted out regarding today's hearing. To be clear, at Sec Nielsen, which is, I guess, her Twitter handle, at Sec Nielsen has lied under oath repeatedly today. There's just no way to prove it.
Oh, boy. Yeah, I agree.
Yeah, which is really scary when you think about it, because this is what we're up against. We are up against the lyingest administration ever in history.
Right. Exactly. It is scary. It is very scary. And we never even got to talk about Kevin McCarthy giving Donald Trump his favorite Starburst.
Oh, the pink and the red ones. That's all he likes.
Darn it, Kevin McCarthy. And putting his name on them so he'd know they were from him.
That's right. Because when you're sucking up, you make sure you put your name on it so you know who the suck-up gift is from.
And Trump calls him my Kevin.
Oh, God.
Oh, God.
It's a Tuesday, and with that, we're at the end of the hour. This has been a weird one, gotta say. Yes. Thank you, Gotta Laugh. Find her on Twitter @GottaLaugh, and here on Tuesdays, and we're done.